Our scripture reading this morning is from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to start this morning with a verse that we usually, a lot of times when we're reading our Bibles, skip right over. It's kind of the to and from section of the letter, to the first verse, where James introduces himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says he's writing to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Another word for this might be the diaspora. The diaspora was the community of Jewish people that arose after the exile, which we've talked about in the last few weeks. When the Babylonians came into Jerusalem, they sent Jews all throughout the Babylonian Empire and beyond. They became known as the diaspora. And James is writing to his Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, probably Jews who became Christians, who are scattered throughout the Roman Empire now, after Jesus has died and been raised again. And he refers to them as the 12 tribes in the dispersion. And I wanted to note that this morning, because it's important for us to know that the feeling, the reality of being scattered, being a people dispersed, people unable to gather together in our places of worship, is nothing new to the community of faith, to our faith ancestors. It is in our DNA to be a scattered, dispersed people. It is good to be together, and whenever we can, we practice that. We come together and we celebrate those times. But when love and faithfulness requires us to be apart, we know that God is with us and that God is at work in us and through us in those times. And that is no less true, as James is about to remind us, in times of trial and in times of suffering. So let's get right into it. And we look at verse 2. And I have to say, I was really disappointed in our translations this week, because verse 2 is a radical idea, but it's a very pedestrian way of communicating it. James writes, we read, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." And the reason I was disappointed in that translation is because joy comes way at the end after lots of words. But in the Greek, this is how James starts his letter. After he introduces himself and says greetings, it starts like this: "All joy." Those are the first two words, all joy. And it's a great way to start the letter, isn't it? All joy, he says, consider it. What? Is that naive? Is that strange? What is James talking about? Well, it's not naive at all, because the things he tells us to have all joy in and to consider all joy are our trials of many kinds. There's not one trial that we all go through. There's many kinds of trials and struggles and sufferings in this life. And he says, whatever it is, whenever you fall into these various trials, consider it joy. The Bible never leads us to escapism or denial of reality in our quest for joy. The Bible always says there is joy right in the middle of it. And it is whenever we face those trials, whenever we suffer, that we can be considering those experiences joy. And his command then is to count those things as joy. It's a calculation. But more than that, this is a word that asks us to view something in high regard, to really value something. He says, take your trials and value them highly. Think highly of those trials. Consider them all joy. James is encouraging us to look at our trials as paths to walk willingly and joyfully. And we might think, that is insanity. Why? You know, it makes sense for us to count our blessings, right? And I think, you know, as we go throughout these weeks of quarantine, isolation, and distancing, it is a good practice for us to notice those really good moments that we have, right? To notice the beautiful flowers starting to blossom, to notice the smiles on each other's faces, to notice some of these really good things. But it seems a stretch to us, I think, to actually look right into the heart of the hard things and to consider them joyful things, to consider them good, or to think highly of them. And so James explains why we can do that. In verse 3, he says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. He says that our trials are the things that make our faith genuine and lead to even greater purposes. In other words, our trials are an essential part of a process that is being governed and orchestrated and mediated by Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want you to see just the wording here. This is why we only have a few verses today. The wording is so important. He says, you know that the testing of your faith, again, these are our trials, those trials produce, they create something in us. And what they create is endurance. What is endurance? Endurance is the increased capacity to live and to flourish within a challenge or a struggle. And we know when we've gained endurance in anything that it's hard. It's a hard path. There is no endurance that is gained without struggle. You can't just think positive thoughts and go out and run a marathon. You have to go through the struggle and the strain of training and pushing your body further and further, day in and day out, to get to a point where you have the endurance to run 26.2 miles or whatever the case may be. And so in sports, we have this saying, right? No pain, no gain. You ever heard that? It's kind of a crude way of saying it, but that's almost exactly what James is saying. Consider it pure joy because these painful things are actually bringing you to a better place. There is gain in that. There's endurance. And he says endurance then works out, and it's a very similar word as the produces or creates, it works out completeness and wholeness in us. And so, friends, the question for us as we look at our trials, as we look at our struggles, whatever those are, we're all sharing one right now. We're all going through a pandemic, but we all have our own, too. We all have our own experiences of this pandemic, but we also have our own struggles just in our daily lives. When we look at those trials, we have to ask ourselves, do I want to be the fullest version of my humanity that God made me to be? Do I want to live in the abundance of the risen Christ? Do I want to more fully live into the image of the God who is love and who overwhelms the suffering and even death with love and joy? Do I want that? And if the answer is yes, then we have to look at our trials in a new way as the path to that kind of life, that kind of existence, that kind of self, that kind of being. I look at that struggle, that test, that trial, and that cross, and I don't see something that's just trying to bring me down. I see that this is the only path towards the fullness of life in Christ. And this is not at all to diminish those struggles and tests and trials and crosses. In fact, sometimes we do that when we try and just run from them, when we try and pretend they're not there, or we try and avoid them. That's when we diminish them, right? James is saying, look at that trial, look right in its face, and think highly of it. Value that experience to a really high degree because it is an essential part of the work that God is doing in your life. Rejoice in that trial. It's important here to remember how we're defining joy, that we're not defining joy as this momentary experience of happiness or pleasure. We're defining joy as our sense of connection to what is most deeply good and beautiful and true in me and in the world. It is the experience of being immersed in the loving work and purposes of God. So when we realize and recognize that God is doing amazing work within this trial experience, that God is taking this cross and this tomb and redeeming it and transfiguring it and recreating something through it and towards resurrection, that's when we can sense that connection to God. That's when we can say, it's all joy because God is doing something here. Now, James goes on in the first chapter to explore a little bit more of what this work is that God is doing. And I'm not going to read all of chapter 1. I'm just going to give a quick overview that in verses 3 through 8, or 5 through 8, I'm sorry, James describes God as the giver, the generous giver of wisdom, that God guides us in our trials. And so God is with us in our trials saying, this is normal. Not maybe the uniqueness of the trial itself, but the experience of being in trial is normal, and I will guide you in it. And that's where we can find joy, that God is generously giving us wisdom and guidance in this time of trial. Then in verse 9 through 11, James describes God as the one who exalts the poor. And so we can know that God is with us in these trials saying, this is broken, but God will raise you up. This is broken, but God, I will raise you up. And that's a source of joy for us, that God is making that promise to us. And then in verses 12 through 18, James depicts God as the one whose goodness meets us in our trials. James makes it very clear to us that God is not the one who causes our trials or who tempts us or tests us. He says in verse 13, he says, no one when tempted, and it's the same word as in verse 2, where he says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, same word. No one when tempted should say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. All right, so to be very clear, God is not the cause of your trial, but in that, we can hear God saying, this is painful, but God, I will bring new life. This is painful, but I will bring new life. This is a cross. This is Good Friday. This is hard, but Sunday is coming. Easter's coming. Resurrection is coming. And lest you think James is alone in this, that James is just some weird sadist who loves suffering, we'll check out a couple of verses from Paul as well. And this is in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, verse 5. He says, not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. So again, same concept. Knowing that suffering produces, it's the same word as James, suffering produces endurance, same word. Endurance produces character. That word for character is the same word up from the genuineness or the testing of our faith from James. So endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And he says, hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That we will not be ashamed by taking joy in our trials because in them, God is fulfilling this work of love, this abundant love that God is doing in us through the Holy Spirit. One more section, one more verse. This is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. Here we go. I'm going to start in verse 16. He says, so we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. So those are, you know, some physical trials. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us, same word of producing or creating that we've been looking at, Our slight momentary afflictions is preparing for us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. In other words, our suffering, our trials, God is working in them so as to produce a glory that is so weighty and substantial that it endures into eternity. That the fires of judgment cannot burn it up or take it away. That what God is doing in your life and my life right now in our time of trial and suffering is creating something that will last into eternity because it is creating a deeper and fuller experience of love in us and making us more into the image of divine love. So friends, I want you to know today that this pandemic that we're experiencing is not normal in itself. We don't have pandemics every day. You know, 85,000, well, probably 90,000 by the time you watch this, people dying in America over 2 months is not normal of a certain thing. And your struggles, whatever your struggles are not everyone's struggles. But like our experience of being scattered and dispersed in the world is not unique to us, so experiencing suffering and trial is not unknown to the people of faith. Suffering and trial are intimately known in the history of humanity. They're intimately known to the community of faith. And they're intimately known to the God who became human and experienced suffering and death on a cross. And so, where are you suffering right now? What is your trial right now? What is your experience of this universal experience of trial and suffering? What is your angle on it? Are you experiencing anxieties about your health? Or anxieties about your finances? Or your job? Are you grieving the loss of a loved one? Or are you missing someone that you care deeply about? Are you overwhelmed with difficult decisions that you're having to make, or unforeseen responsibilities that you've had to take on, or an unfamiliar world that you're all of a sudden living in? I want you to know that God is not doing this to you, but God is with you in it. And I don't echo James's command to consider these trials all joy lightly. I'm inviting you to take a moment to look more deeply into what your experience of suffering is, into what your trial is, and to ask God, where are you in this? What are you doing in this? What are you creating and producing in me in this moment? And consider who you are becoming. Who are you becoming through this? Who do you want to become through this? Who is it possible that you could become through this as the Holy Spirit, the gentle hand of the potter, shapes you by her love? Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, as we witness chaotic darkness around us, may the light of your wisdom speak into us and into our hearts and guide us. As we experience the brokenness of our humanity and the world around us, may your compassion stir within us. As we experience pain and grief all around us, may we also bear witness to the new life that you, O God, are midwifing into birth from us and in us. We ask this all in the hope of the one who came to be with us, in the one who was crucified, the one who is raised again, that we might be raised into life eternal, Jesus the Christ. Amen.